Boy, this time of the year, we see basketball just on the horizon. And for me, that brings back memories of college and practices and all that was involved in preparing to be a part of a basketball team representing a college and now a university. And our coach just was so big on preparation. His mind for the game amazed me. But he had to take sometimes who he called the wild colts and break them, because we loved scrimmages and we loved the fun times, but playing pickup ball. But then when the time came to prepare for the real games, that took time and effort and dedication. And so we had drill after drill after drill, putting in the time, shooting, working on our defense, just sweating, running, all the different things in preparation. Why? Because he knew that when the game time came, we needed to be ready. And so God, in his wisdom, is doing a work in this man, Elijah. He's got things that he's going to be needing trained into Elijah's life. And unless he learns those things, he learned from the dried up brook, but he's got other things, because he had life beside a brook and birds faithfully brought in his meals, and he had this simple, uninterrupted routine. And we all love the routine. We may say we don't, but there's a beauty to the routine, in the words of my friend. And so Elijah had to be prepared, because at some point he was going to be needing to take a stand. So he needed to learn how to trust God. And so the brook dries up and God moves him to a place called Zarephath. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 17. Look at verse 8, please. Then the word of the Lord came to him. So after the brook dries up, God shows up. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Wow, Zarephath. What does that mean? That word means to melt or to smelt. It's got a noun form that means crucible. And that place may have gotten its name because there was a smelting plant of some kind located there. But we don't know that for sure. But whatever that is the case, it is a crucible for Elijah, a place designed by God to refine this prophet, to make a major difference in the remainder of his life. So it's almost like God saying, I took you to Cherith to get you away from the limelight, and I cut you down to size, and you need to trust me. But then I'm going to start working on your inner man with these disciplines of solitude and obscurity and silence. But now I have to do a deeper work. And so I'm going to turn up this furnace. And it's the exact thing that you need to go through so that I can fulfill the purposes that I have in mind for you. And young person, I'm telling you that if you're spending enough time with God, you're going to discover that his tests sometimes come back to back, and sometimes back to back to back to back to back. And he's doing this to make you stronger. These crucibles, they create Christ-likeness. That's what a crucible does. It's a furnace. It turns things up. And so even as my coach wanted the best out of me, and so we're going to run a little bit longer, but I don't want to run. We're going to keep running, because when the time of the game comes, your preparation has made you such that you can run longer than that other team. And so if you're a softy, you aren't going to last. And so God, in his wisdom, does just that. And he knows where Elijah is, and he's there, and he's not silent. And he knows where Elijah's going. And that's something that we don't know. But he says to him, go to Zarephath and stay there, because I've commanded a widow to provide for you. I'm telling you, that's kind of humbling. If you've ever think about the fact that this guy, a guy, is supposed to take care of himself, and now he has to go to a woman, and not just any woman, a woman whose husband died. And so in that culture, a widow was one of the lowest people. They had to rely on others. And so the one that has to rely on others, Elijah has to rely on her. Wow. And what does Elijah do? Verse 10 with me. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So he's asking her. And so there are first impressions here. He's dying of thirst. The brook had dried up. I don't know. We don't know how long it had been since he had a drink. He says, please give me a drink. Oh, and could you give me some bread too? Look at verse 12, how she responds. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it, listen to this, and die. This is the person that God has given Elijah to provide for him? Wow. Think about that. Think about that. But that's what God does. He comes to Zarephath. He finds nothing but a woman looking for sticks so she can build a fire, fix her last meal, and die of starvation. But that's a test of physical impossibilities that sometimes we need to learn, that God can take care of stuff. And as you're young and as you're looking forward in your life, you can't imagine how bad it could be. Some of you have lived through some bad stuff. Some of you, you've had it pretty good. If you're walking with God, and that's the thing, do you want to have a life that has eternal ramifications, or just only for here? Well, God wants to do something in your life like he did in the life of Elijah. Let's keep going. Verse 13 and 14. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Wow. He's looking to her and he's saying, do you trust me? And so she's somebody that is stepping out in faith, and God provides for her. She must have been so tired and wondered, what is this guy saying? But somebody of faith, when they speak to you, and they've got such faith, it's exciting to see what God can do. And so she listens to Elijah, and she never was the same again. Look at verses 15 to 16. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. So she went and did it. So we're obedient and God is faithful. And that's something that just means that down the road, great things can happen with that kind of thinking. That's the kind of person I want to be as I walk in my life. And so what are some lessons we can learn from that? Well, God's leading is often surprising. Don't worry about analyzing it. If God leads you to this place and you're trying to make sense out of it, just go. Trust God. See what he does. Secondly, the beginning days are often the hardest days, so don't quit. You can think about, once I'm doing practice, if you practice well, playing the game is easy. And that's what happens early on. As you work hard as you are doing what you're called to. Whatever your responsibility is, maybe it's just get your homework done and get your room cleaned and be obedient to your parents. Sometimes those are hard times, but I'm telling you, at every point in your life, you're going to have a boss. So if you think, man, I'm looking forward to the day I'm out of this house, at some point, you'll be out of the house, but you'll have a boss. That's just how it is. Third thing to think about is God's promises often hinge on obedience. So just do it. You look at Elijah and how he talked to that widow, and he says these things, and she had to trust him. She's given up her meal first. He was being fed first. And look what happened as a result. And then fourth, God's provisions are often just enough, but let's be people that are thankful. We live in a time where people aren't thankful. There's not a lot of gratitude. There's a lot of expectations and entitlements. And I want to be a person, and that I think that's any generation today. Let's be people that are different because of what God has done in our life, and be thankful and look to Him.